bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we do believe, Lord, that all things are possible because you are here. And Lord, we just commit our hearing this morning and our hearts, Lord. We just pray that we could tune out everything, Father, that is not from thee. And we pray that, Lord, all the activities of life, all the cares of this life, Father, we could just lay them aside. And we could enter into thy spirit, into thy truth, Father. Help us, Lord, as we would come reverently and boldly to thy throne of mercy, Lord, believing that you have come with a purpose, Father, and that's to gather together your elect to get us ready for the going home. And so, Lord, may we focus aside from everything except for that going home. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Last week we spoke from paragraph 136, and we took the subject, organization unto death. This morning I would like to continue with this thought as we pick up at paragraph 136 again and continue to read from Brother Branham's sermon, The Masterpiece. And we'll read several paragraphs this morning, and this central theme keeps coming out as he continues to speak. As we read Brother Branham speak those much-quoted words where he addresses the life of Luther's message, making a way for the Wesley's message, and then Wesley's message making a way for the Pentecostal message of restoration of the gifts. And then finally, the restoration of the gifts makes a way for the giver of the gifts himself to come down in perfection. He said, justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost himself to come down in perfection. Now, from paragraph 136, we read, notice here, the life that was in the husk, in the stalk, and in the tassel, in the husk, all gathers into the seed. And the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself. Notice how he differentiates between the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost himself. Now, this is the one thing that the oneness among us do not understand. They do not understand Christ in you, the hope of glory. They believe that's the presence. But it is not the presence that Brother Branham spoke of more than 4,400 times in just 1,200 sermons. And the reason they do not understand this difference is because they do not understand God life. They do not understand the Godhead. The Holy Ghost is God, and God is the great fountain of life. And there is only one source of eternal life, and that is God, and the author of that life, eternal life, is God life. And they do not understand the difference between a person having God life in them and God himself in them. The fullness of God indwelt his son Jesus, not in you and I. We have God life in a portion. Jesus had it without measure because God indwelt him. So when he says justification made a way for the sanctification, sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection back to the Word again to manifest itself, we see the difference between the appearing and coming right there. We see the parousia of Christ in perfection back to the Word again. Now listen to what Brother Branham says next. He says, but what denominated dies? So on the one hand, he's talking about life and the life moving on. The life went from justification to sanctification, from sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, from the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the revelation of Christ himself among us. But what denominates, he says, dies. Like life in Luther went to make Wesley. And from Wesley it went to Pentecost, and from Pentecost to make the original seed onto Pentecost comes out of Wesley until that time. And the reason that Pentecost came out of Wesley, because it was no denomination, Pentecost was. Then Pentecost went to denominate. And what did it do? It turned to the husk. It looked like the real thing. Now, notice how Brother Branham is showing us the life coming up in a sort of resurrection, like the sap that comes up in the springtime, in a sort of resurrection, and the trees come back to life again after remaining dormant throughout the winter burial. He says this life began to come up in Luther, then on into Wesley's message, then on into Pentecost's message, and now it comes back to the seed again, the Word again, at the end time. But then he contrasts the cycle of life with death, showing that when the life leaves anything, it must die. And he tells us the clue that it is dead is that it denominates or it organizes. From the Masterpiece, again, paragraph 138, he said, how many ever seen a seed of wheat start to grow? What's the first little thing? It just exactly like the seed, but it's the husk. See the three stages, stalk, tassel, or the pollen, then the husk. And then out of the husk comes the original seed. Not a seed, it was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Amen. Amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection, coming back to a masterpiece again. Like the one that went in. Pentecost came out of the Wesley, because Wesley was an organization. Pentecost come out as no organization and then turned to one. It had to make the husk. The true word of life on it was on its way. Then to the original grain through these stages, through the stalk, then into the pollen, from the pollen into the husk, and from the husk it made seed. No, excuse me. The stalk, the tassel, and the husk. Again, we find him carrying the thought of God, or the God life, as it comes through different stages of the church. And each stage of this planting of the Lord is identified with a message that swept the world. That was the life of God sweeping up all the predestinated seed of God laying out there. Now in this next paragraph, I do not know how that you could make it any more plain than what Brother Branham was telling us here. In paragraph 140, he says, living, they produced in the early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. Again, let me read it. Living. They produced in their early revival, in other words, each denomination as they begin, each, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost, each organization in their early revival, when they begin to see the light, he says, in their early revival, a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. But when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proved by all of history. Never an organization ever done a thing after it organized. It was dead. That's right. Watch. The life traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice. What they have done, all they have done, is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come. Never be used to him again. Never be useful to him again. Organization is laid on the shelf. There never has been in all of history of the church after it's organized but what it died. And the organization died and never did rise again. Can't you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the Word coordinating together and proving it right here that this is the truth, that it is the truth. That life leaves the stalk to make the tassel, from the tassel to make the husk. And from the husk, it goes into the original again. Notice, never again to be useful to him. So the main thing we have to be careful on is, what is organization? Because once a movement of God, a revival of God, it begins with the Word of God, but once it begins to organize, the life goes out, and then that thing is no longer useful to God. Now, I don't know how much more clear any person could say it than what Brother Branham is telling us right here. Once a move of God organizes, it is never useful to God again. Every denomination began with some truth. But when they begin to organize that truth, that is the minute that the life went out of it. He said they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the life, of the seed life, but when they organized, the life moved out of it. I hope that you begin, I hope you people who hear this sermon or read it on the internet catch what Brother Branham is saying here. Do not try to organize the message. The minute you do, the life of God will move out of what you're trying to organize. Now, what does it mean to organize a message? Because that is really what we do not want to do. I do not believe there is anyone who wishes to organize themselves right out of the life of the Word. But they do it anyhow, not really understanding what they are doing. In order to better understand what it means to organize, let's read what the dictionary tells us. Organize. One, to put together into an orderly, functional, structured whole. Now, there's nothing wrong with structure. Every building has got to have structure or it's going to fall. It has to have foundation first. It has to have a roof, a capstone. So there's nothing wrong with structure. There's nothing wrong with order, church order. That's why Brother Bram said we should be here before half hour before service begins, so we can get prayed up and everything else. You see, there's got to be an order. So there's nothing wrong with order, there's nothing wrong with structure, or with making things functional. You know, you have chairs that are functional. You can sit in them. You don't expect the chair to collapse when you sit in the chair. Therefore, so far, what we've read concerning to organize does not sound like anything that would be too awful, that God would be displeased with it. But let's read on, because the definitions become a little more definitive. 2a, to arrange in a coherent form, systematize, organize, and then the example is organize your thoughts before speaking. Well, you should organize your thoughts before speaking. Brother Branham said a minister gets his anointing in a study. And so you get the anointing in your study, and you write down the things that the Lord gives you, and then you preach from that. So you've got to have some form of systemization to make things coherent. Now, again, there's nothing wrong with presenting the doctrine of the message in a coherent fashion. And to do that, you must systematize or place it together in an orderly fashion in order to make the presentation of it more easily understood. Now, 2b, to arrange in a desired pattern or structure. Again, there's nothing here that would cause the life of God to take flight, because even Jesus' own life was ordered aright, and he set the pattern for all other sons to follow. But this next definition begins to give some clarity on the danger of organizing. Definition 3, to arrange systematically for the purpose of harmonious or united action. Then it gives some examples of this organizing to form a union, to organize a strike. So you see, it's not the order, it's not the systematization, it's not the coherency, but it's the purpose in which something is organized. To arrange systematically for harmonious or united action. In other words, a unionizing. 4a, to establish as an organization, to organize a club, to induce employees to form or join a labor union. To induce the employees of a business or industry to form or join a union. To organize a factory, to develop into or assume an organic structure. So what we see here is an evolution from a harmless attempt to present the message in an orderly fashion so that people can better understand it, to a place that where it actually organizes the people into a harmonious union that all binds the people to a core value of beliefs and excludes others who do not hold to those beliefs. And that's the danger. That is what every false doctrine has done that has crept up in any move of God. And that is what has even happened in this message with movements like the Thunders Group and the Two Souls Group and the Tapes Only Group, etc. And notice when they do that, the life of the Word leaves them and they begin to establish among themselves a hierarchy of men in which if you do not listen to them, you are considered out of it altogether. You're not spiritual. You're put out. And when the people teach and when the people reach that state, they are on their way into organization. And that is why Brother Vail said, you do not have to hear this from me, but you've got to stand with this truth. It does not matter who you hear the doctrine from, but you had better hear it. For he that does not have the doctrine of Christ does not have God. You do not have to hear it from Brother Vail, nor do you have to hear it from me or any other person in particular. But you had better hear it and believe it if you wish to echo God. So you see, there is a real danger any time that you try to improve on what God has given by inspiration. The danger comes when people try to organize any move of God. And the reason they organize a move of God is because they are not satisfied with the way that God presented it to begin with. And then they try to fashion it into what they feel is a better way of presenting it. And they end up taking a life-altering word and make it into a works-oriented work. Or works-oriented word. Just look at any place that God... where God has had a truly anointed preacher, pastor, or teacher. And when that man leaves the scene, the people try to hold on to what that person brought to them. And pretty soon they begin to organize it into a set of rules taught by the slate of men. And then the word becomes to them rule on rule, precept on precept, precept on precept, a little here, a little there. And then they fall back into what they came out of, which was works. And if you think that I'm wrong in saying that, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 8. And I'm going to read it from the New International Version, which was taken from the Masoretic text. Isaiah 28 and verse 8. All the tables are covered with vomit, and there is not a spot without filth. Now the tables are the pulpits. And what is vomit but food from another day that has become mixed up in a man and then regurgitated? In other words, who is he trying to teach? And to whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from the milk? To those just taken from the breast? No, I don't think so. Because the Apostle Paul said that when you should be teachers, when you ought to be teachers, he said you have a need of milk. No, those people on milk see things a little bit differently. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I thought as a child, I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish thinking, which results in childish talk, which results in childish actions. So the word of the Lord to them becomes, notice, for it is do and do, rule on rule, a little here, a little there. That's the babies. Notice their perception of the word reverts to legalism, the do's and don'ts. It seems to me that the first time a person becomes a Christian, they think, well, I'm not good enough to go to church. They look at the outward. They look at the do's and don'ts. And so then they begin to focus on the do's and don'ts, the outer man. But the longer that you are a child of God, the longer you are sitting under the word of God, it's not the do's and don'ts anymore. It's the thoughts. It's the mind. It's knowing the difference between God's thoughts and the devil's thoughts, because Brother Branham said, you ain't got no thought coming. So when thoughts come to your mind, and if it's not a godly thought, it's the devil putting that in your mind. Then it's not your thought. Then just let go of it. Martin Luther said the devil will come like a bird into the tree, but he said don't let him make a nest. When you recognize that that's not God's thought, get rid of it. Send it back to where it came from. You see? But notice, though all the tables are full of, they're covered with vomit. There's not a spot without filth. Who's he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from the milk? To those just taken from the breast? For it is do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. Notice the perception of the word reversed to legalism, the do's and don'ts. He says, very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to this people. So if God will speak to this people, then what they hear will be what? Thus saith the Lord. And this is the rest, he says, that God has for his elect. The elect rests on thus saith the Lord. Notice, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they would not listen. So we have a prophet that knocked on the pulpit while he was preaching on the seventh seal. And while he was preaching on the seventh seal, he knocked seven times and he said, it's relaxation time. That's from the seventh seal, paragraph 83 and 84. And notice what we are told here in Isaiah. This foreign tongue will bring rest, but the people will not listen. And thus, if they do not listen, they will not enter into this rest, but they will revert to works. And that is what we read in the next verse. Notice. So then, verse 13. So then, the number of America. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do. Do and do. Rule on rule. Rule on rule. A little here, a little there, so that they will go and fall backward, be injured and snared and captured. The wording could not be much more clear and more perfect. We are told that because they will not listen to the voice of the Lord, they then will refuse the rest and will enter into works. Do and do, and rule on top of rule. And so we see a very clear indication of a people who leave the life of the word that sets a man free from works and enters him into rest. But when they leave the word, they always revert back to works. Now, it does not say that they knowingly leave the word of God for works, because no one does that. But it says, so then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule on rule, rule on rule. In other words, that's what they see in the word. Rules, regulations, do this, don't do that. And the word of the Lord to them becomes that, because they what? They didn't listen to thus saith the Lord. Brother Branham said, my ministry is to declare him that he's here. So they turned that aside. They turned the revelation of Jesus Christ, where the life of the Word comes, and they revert to rules and regulations. And that is when they've organized. You see, the Word of the Lord to them becomes works. In other words, they begin to try to do it for themselves because the life of the Word is gone from them when they refuse the rest that God has given us by entering into Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Therefore, just watch any move of God, and when the ministry of God that God was using goes off the scene, many of those who follow that ministry will begin to try to hold on to what was taught, but in doing so, they will organize it, and when the life goes out and the rest is gone, the works will always follow. In other words, if they can control the ministry that they so honored God through, God sends a prophet. What do? They try to organize around that. They try to say that they try to control that ministry so that no one else can have it. And what do? It reverts to works. You can't do this, and you can do this. You can't do that. But you can do this, but you can't do this. So God moves on. Any ministry that rises up, I don't care if it's Brother Branham, I don't care if Brother Vail, I don't care who it is that God uses. When the people try to hold on to that and organize around that, and that ministry is already gone, it's too late. God moves on. The Word moves on. The life moves on. And to try to control that and organize around that, you're going to miss God, just as clear. Just as clear as can be. You're going to miss him. Instead of preaching the life that is in the Word, the sermons will become focused on dress and conduct and clothesline theology. And pretty soon the people will be eyeing one another and looking for fault in one another. And when they will begin to separate into cliques and clans. And once that has happened, that work is about gone spiritually. Oh, they may end up with more people than the ministry that stays with the Word. But that is no surprise because the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 4:27, many more are the children of the desolate. That's, what is desolate? It's a place where there's no life. Many more are the children of the desolate than she which has a husband. And she which has a husband is a bride. You know, I can't read this verse of Scripture enough in warning you about what is happening in this message even today. Who is he trying to teach? To whom is he explaining his message? To children weaned from the milk? To those just taken from the breast? I don't think so. For to them it is do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there. Very well, with foreign lips and strange tongues will God speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the resting place, let the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. So then the word of the Lord to them will become do and do, rule and rule, little here, little there, that they will go and fall backward, not forward, backward, be injured, snared, and captured. Brother Branham said they're always looking forward to what God's going to do, always looking back at what he's already done, and they're failing to recognize what God is doing now. Now, I'm getting back to what Brother Branham's sermon on the masterpiece. He says in paragraph 143, how noticeable this life is in its travel in the corn of wheat than it is in the tree. God called his people like a tree, see? The life goes down in the tree and comes back up again. Goes down and comes back up again, see? It goes down and comes back up. But in the corn of wheat, it goes up from the original stalk through the stalk, tassel and husk. And the thing that it passed through dies, so it can't get back through it again. What is it? It's no more use. It's no use anymore. It goes on to its perfection. Amen. Don't you see why he never used an organization? He can't get back in it again. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to the other. See? They put creeds and inject, and whosoever shall add one word or take one word out of it. See? He's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on. And in every age, after every revival, once the people move away from the light that God sent to them, and they move backwards into works programs, the life leaves them, and God moves on with his light. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, that when they lose what understanding they have of the Word of God, the life of God leaves them as well. In Ephesians 4, verse 18, having their understanding darkened. Well, if something is darkened, it means it did have light. But having their understanding darkened, they become alienated from the life of God. What's alienation? It's separation. It's removed from. They become removed from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. So because their hearts are blind and they are willingly ignorant as they move away from what understanding that they did have, they actually are shutting off the life of God from themselves. In essence, they are walking away from the fountain of life. There is never any reason to quit preaching the doctrine to revert to works. For Christ is the doctrine. And if you preach Christ, the hearts of the people will be filled with life, and there will be no need to preach a clothesline religion. Fill a person with God life, and God will live through that person. And if God lives through that person, then the life of God will reflect in that person. And it does not matter what you do to clean up your life. If you are born again, it's not even acceptable. Look. Just because a person cleans up their life, that means nothing to God. It's the new birth. Because if you have the new birth, your motive for cleaning up, like Brother Bram said, God just takes away those thoughts from you. You have no more desire to sin. The man that's born of God, he sins not. He has no more desire. God takes the desires from him. So then you say, well, okay, I believe that I've been born again. But sometimes those thoughts come back to me. Don't claim them. They're not yours. They're the devil's. Let them go back to the devil. You see? So because their hearts are blind and they are willingly ignorant as they move away from what understanding that they did have, they actually are shutting off the life of God from themselves. In essence, they are walking away from the fountain of life. There is never any reason to quit preaching the doctrine to revert to works, for Christ is the doctrine. And it does not matter what you do to clean up your life. If you're not born again, it's not even acceptable to God anyway. All that kind of righteousness is as filthy rags. That is what he said. Now, in getting back to the masterpiece, paragraph 144, Brother Bram said, I'm using this as a parable now of the bride. The masterpiece is coming forth. There's a masterpiece that fell. That's a masterpiece rising. There's a masterpiece rising, excuse me. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea, Rome. After Nicaea, Rome, she's coming through a process. But she's coming right back again to that masterpiece perfected, because she's part of that word that was spoken by him. You'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. It'll not be connected anyway with any kind of organization or denomination, that cursed thing. It's passed through those such things, but it'll never be there. Notice, the seed is coming up, paragraph 145. That life is coming up, not going back. There'll be no more resurrection after this. The life is coming up to go to its perfection, a resurrection. Notice the husk put forth. Notice, the husk puts the original seed out of itself. In Revelation the 3rd, we find this. Now remember, no other church was he put out of in this Bible, of the seven church ages. How many remembers it? He passed through the church age to go on to make something else. But this is it. There's nothing else. But the scripture has got to come back to perfection again. The word, see? Don't go back. How different it is. Yes. 147. Oh, and notice, then the husk, when it comes forth, looks just like the grain. But when the grain life begins to leave the husk to go in to make the grain, the bride, the husk opens up and excommunicates the grain. Is that right? In nature. That's exactly what he did. In Revelation 3, we find out that the Laodicean church age put him out. Now see, it didn't back in the other ages because he was something else yet to be made. It just passed through and went on to the other. I told you all along, there's no more denomination coming. We're at the end. And they put him out because why? He's the word again. He's like the one that fell down there. He's the same doctrine that came forth from the beginning. And when the seed word begin to grow forth, the husk puts it from itself. The life leaves all the orders, all the others to follow it. That's the true believers. They follow the life wherever the life goes. Now notice, once again, that Brother Bram says that the true believer will never organize, but they will follow the life wherever that life goes. Brother Vail told me in his living room a few years ago, he said, they're saying that when I'm gone, that teaching will be over, but they're wrong. Because as long as the Holy Ghost is here, there will be teachers because the Holy Ghost is the teacher.
Amen.
You see, when you focus on a man, and God is done with the man, God is somewhere because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
And he as a teacher is doing, he's teaching somewhere. And notice what Brother Branham said. He said, he's the Word again. He's like the one that fell down there. He's the same doctrine that came forth from the beginning. So it has to be doctrine. Because if you focus on the doctrine of Christ, you have God, period. And John said, he that hath the Son hath life. And the word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. And so he that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that echoes the doctrine of Christ echoes God himself. So as the life moves on, the doctrine of Christ will continue to be taught by those that have been faithfully taught themselves. And when a church stops teaching the doctrine and begins to focus on rules and order and do, it hasn't lost its first love. It has lost its first love. And they've left the doctrine of Christ. And when they do that, they no longer echo or reflect the life. Nor do they echo or reflect the God who is the author of life. The Apostle Paul said in Colossians 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. When Christ, who is our life, shall phaneru. When Christ, who is our life, shall manifest in his true character, so shall we phaneru. So shall we appear. So shall we manifest in our true character with him in glory. With him in his doxa. In the opinion, in the assessment, and in the judgment of God. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, appears, our life shall manifest in his true character as well, which we know is ordained to have the very mind of Christ in us. From the Anointed Ones at the End Time, Brother Branham said, now, you go back and try to live again. What if that life took back down? You think that life would ever talk or go back after that old shucks dried up, ever go back and live in it again? It never does. For it is impossible. For those which were once enlightened, and that word is, as Brother Vail taught us, once for all enlightened, and didn't move on with the word as it come to pass, they're dead and gone. And the thorns and thistles, which is nigh unto rejection, whose end is to be burned, is that right? Now hurrying, just as quick as I can. In 1 John 1 and 2, we read, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it. And bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Dead men don't grow. Dead men don't manifest signs of life. And dead men cannot change. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18, but we all, with an open face, an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror of the Lord, a glass, he says, the glory of the Lord, the doxa of the Lord, the opinion, the judgment, the assessment of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from opinion to opinion, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now the Apostle Paul told us here that when we look into the mirror of the Word, we are changed into the image that we see in the Word, which is Christ, who is our light. And then he tells us that we are changed from image to image and from glory to glory, from doxa to doxa, which is the opinion, assessment, and judgment of God. So it tells us that we are changed into the image of Christ, who is our light, and we are changed from one opinion to another, and to another, and to another, until we come into the mind of God. Therefore, the life moves on, and those walking in the light continue to walk in the light as he is in the light. They don't look back, because anyone driving while looking back through a rearview mirror, Brother Brown said, cracks up. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear Father, we have seen much evidence today that your word will always continue to move on. For all life must continue to move. For to stop, it is evident that there's no more life in it and that it is no longer living, but it is dead. Therefore, Father, we ask that you would help us to never be caught up in the trap of organization. For we know organization is the way of death. And we know that Satan is the author of organization, for he tried to organize a union in heaven. And he tried to organize the angels against you, Father, in the very beginning. And for it he lost his position in heaven as a leader in the worship of thee, O Father. Therefore, Father, we just ask you that you would always help us, Lord, to keep your word fresh upon our hearts and our minds. And may the life that is in your word for this hour, may it always, Father, be open to us in our ears, our hearts, our minds. And may we receive as nourishment and strength from the life that is in your word. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. And as he asked in his own prayer to thee, may we, Father, be one with thee, even as you and Jesus Christ, your Son, were one. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. For he said, Father, I have given them thy word, and the world hateth them for it. But may they be one, even as you and I are one. And so, Father, we ask for this oneness, that we might be so in tune with thee, Father, that when you turn left, we turn left. When you go straight, we go straight. When you turn right, we go right. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. For we know that sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace. And give thee peace, and give thee peace forever. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine to you.